All right, very good. Justice Rowland, can you hear us?
Yes, I do.
All right, very good. Thank you.
I need to go.
We have Justice Lahowski and Justice Moss, so we have a full membership here for the Courts of Public Safety. All right, we'll call this meeting of Courts and Public Safety Committee in order. The first item on the agenda for business is the Fulton County Sheriff's Office wanted to talk to us about Act 1110 stimulus funds for inmates. Ms. Woolley, are you going to be the one presenting?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have the floor, ma'am.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You have the table.
Thanks.
Scoot the microphone up close.
Is that working? Okay, I just wanted to come before the Courts and Public Safety because we have spoke to you all in the past about collections of our circuit court fines. And you'll know that we spoke on length about doing the debt set-off program, trying to collect a lot of our past due old circuit fines that just no one is paying on for whatever reason it is. And we have done collections through the debt set-off program and have been very successful in doing so. That is just off of state income tax revenue, though. We can seize defendants' state tax revenue, or refunds, I'm sorry. And so this year, the legislation passed Act 1110 of 2021. It was approved May 3rd of this year. This act states a person who is in the custody of the Department of Corrections for an offense committed in the state who receives any federal relief or stimulus funds from the United States government is required to first use the federal relief or stimulus funds to pay off existing court fines, fees, costs, or restitution before he or she may use the federal relief or stimulus funds for any other purpose. And I received this information about the act from our circuit clerk, Crystal Taylor, on August 10th. And so immediately I took action and contacted the CPA for ADC to find out how we go about requesting these funds, because I knew, without a doubt, there's people inside Arkansas Department of Corrections that have judgments that are just sitting there, not being paid on. They don't necessarily have to make payment while they're incarcerated. Sometimes their families do, but most of the time they don't. So I immediately took action and started searching our records and located several people that we could actually request the funds for. We submitted our first request on August 12th, and we have since submitted six more requests. And as of today, the request we have sent for approximately 84 ADC inmates, and we have collected $101,766.53. And so we are listed actually second out of the 29 agencies that have taken action on this. The first agency listed for collections is Benton County Circuit Court, and they have collected $152,133.01. So we have taken strong action to try to get this. And one thing I actually noticed when looking at the actual judgments are these are defendants that are serving lengthy sentences, sometimes life sentences, so murders, rapists, and we would probably never get this paid off. And these deposits are anywhere from $600 to $3,000 that these inmates are getting, and they're steadily coming in. We are still getting deposits. We don't get them, I'm sorry. ADC still gets deposits usually on a weekly basis. I get an email from the CPA. It notifies us of what collections are coming in, and so I check our records and find out if we can request any more. And so we are going to continue to do so until they quit sending us the emails. But I just wanted to let y'all know about it.
Okay, very good. Any questions for Ms. Woolley from the committee?
Thank you for pursuing this.
Any other questions? Very good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Could I get the total again, please?
Yes, I'll give you a copy of it, actually.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda, proposed resolution 21-04 from the Fulton County Sheriff's Office line of succession. Chief Woolley, are you presenting that or not?
This was actually done on my behalf, Justice Higgins.
Okay.
We needed a just I think previously we had not done this, but in review of some statutes, we needed a formal resolution from the quorum court, which indicated the line of succession for the sheriff should the sheriff not be able to perform any duties, whether that's he's out of town or otherwise. This is a rare resolution that also requires the approval of the sheriff, which is why you'll see that the sheriff actually has a signature line on this resolution. But it's pretty simple. This puts the chief deputy, then patrol lieutenant, then the regulatory service major in that order as far as the line of succession.
So, Counselor, as I recall, this is not really anything new. We have done this before when we have changed sheriffs in the past. I believe we've also done this with the county judge when we had a succession plan that we approved the resolution.
That may be. I just think we hadn't had it in several years since Sheriff Riles has been.
Right. Okay. So I would, so we can discuss this. I'd entertain a motion for 21-04.
Motion for passage.
Have a motion.
Second,
Justice Moss. So are there any questions regarding resolution 21-04?
I have a question.
Justice Lahowski.
Counselor Murphy, did you work with the sheriff to determine this numbering 123?
This is the sheriff's
okay.
Decision.
Yeah, sounds good. That was my only question. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
And I will say, I feel like I've had one or two people reach out in concern of this and the fact that it's not what happens if the sheriff resigns. We still appoint a new sheriff within a 30-day time period or whatever that time period. This is just in the immediacy after the sheriff is not able to perform his duties by whatever means.
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, hearing no further questions, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Justice Rowland, Justice Schott, do you want an aye or nay?
Aye.
Aye. Justice Schott?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. The ayes have it. So resolution 21-04 will go to the full court. All right, next item on the agenda is the Faulkner County Sheriff's Reserve Office Reserve Unit. Commander, are you going to speak to us?
Yes, sir. I'm also going to have Deputy Tyner give some numbers after I've spoke with you.
If you guys would like to come up here to a microphone and sit down, you're more than welcome to do so. And I know you, but if you guys would, for the rest of the committee and for the audience, go ahead and introduce yourselves. And I'll say, number one, I appreciate the good job that you guys do as a reserve.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Lonnie Harper, the current commander of the reserve unit.
I'm Deputy Tyner, one of the board members of the Faulkner County Reserve Unit.
Okay, you guys have the floor.
We're here tonight to ask for some funding from the quorum court from the Relief Act. We have a need for equipment. The funding that we currently have is all donations or funding that we achieve through performing events, and the events pay the group. As you mentioned earlier, our reserves work totally free. They provide their own equipment. Deputy Tyner is handing out a packet with some information. I apologize that we did not print up more of these to hand out to the entire group. If somebody wants one, you may have an extra, and afterwards I'll be more than happy to give you the one I have. What we're asking for, or our current main need, is to do with communications. We're operating with radios that are out of date. And when I say out of date, there are radios at Motorola no longer sells. They will not repair them or do anything with them. A1, our AWIN system that the radios operate on, has a date that escapes me at the moment, but they will cease to function. So we're seeking matching funds for a grant that Mr. Tyner will inform you about for that. We're also looking to purchase in-date body armor for all the reserves. A lot of our reserves are functioning with body armor that is out of date. If you look on your handout, the cost to our reserves, not to mention the time for the training, is approximately $2,200. So that means these individuals are willing to serve their community and spend $2,200 of their personal money to outfit themselves. You may wonder why or ask if there is not equipment from the Sheriff's Department. We are a separate entity, incorporated separately from the Sheriff's Department. Our funds do not intermingle in any way, so we have our own administration as well. Any money allotted to the main Sheriff's Department does not come to us, and any money that y'all give to us does not go to them. So there's a true separation there, and it's why we have no funding from tax dollars whatsoever. We also have 17 other grants that we're looking at, which are FAR equipment, and this equipment will benefit not only the reserve, but our community. It's a huge safety concern when you're out operating with a radio and you cannot reach dispatch. Not only for the deputy, you may be trying to get life-saving personnel to a citizen. If you can't communicate and tell MIMS that that scene is clear for them to come in, it's very easy to lose a deputy's life if it's life-threatening or a citizen's life. So there is a huge need, and there is a need for additional equipment that is not immediate because that grant is not coming due. There's money from the Act to fund this if y'all so choose. I'd like to let Deputy Tyner give y'all a little bit more information on the hours that our reserves have put in the last 18 months, along with some cost on what the two immediate grants that we're looking at would cost us.
Thank you for having us here tonight. Our reserve unit, as Commander said, is separate from the Sheriff's Department. We augment the Sheriff's Department in many, many ways. Patrol, security, when we gear up for any kind of public outreach or community service, community policing, even protests of any kind, we serve that role for the Sheriff's Department. And as call volume goes up dramatically, and in law enforcement across the nation, numbers of officers that are getting into this field dwindle, our response and the need for our unit has drastically increased in the last 24 months. In the last 18 or 19 months, the reserve unit has contributed 13,128 man hours to the Sheriff's Department. That is
free of charge.
Free of charge. All the equipment that we've used have been bought personally. We have a serious need that we're not going to be able to fill. This equipment is very expensive, and we can't ask these individuals that volunteer their time. They're all professionals in our community. We have nurses, we have business owners, we have IT personnel, managers in several areas. We can't ask them to take more money away from their family just to do this job. But what we do is vital and critical. To the committee I presented, and some folks out in the audience, Motorola Solutions has given us what it's going to take to replace these roughly 25 units that we have. It's a total of $124,870.85. We've applied for a grant through the USDA. According to our county's economics and demographics, we can recoup up to 50%. And then the other 50% we can pay out over 5 years, which is roughly $12,500 a year. With no residual or yearly tax income, and we only collect money through fundraisers or donations, we cannot sign an agreement for the $12,000 a year and be assured that we'll get it. We're not even sure if we're going to get the grant, but that's the best hope we have, is come to the committee and ask for the funds, the 50% of the grant that the USDA will not pay for. The other grant that we're asking for from the federal government is on our body armor grant. As Commander stated, most of our officers who are licensed and trained police officers are out there doing the job every day that our county deputies are doing, have out-of-date body armor. And speaking for my wife, that's pretty concerning for their families. We are in, as all police officers, in many, many rough situations, sometimes at people's, the worst moments in their life, and things happen. Not having up-to-date body armor for somebody that's out defending their community is not a good thing. Body armor is expensive. Roughly $880 to outfit a deputy with current body armor and carrier. 25 deputies, that's roughly $22,000. The federal government does not have a grant yet that will incorporate reserve units. So we've got a couple of private grants that we are applying for. They are not enough money to get this body armor. And roughly the chances of getting them as many agencies that are asking for this is going to be very difficult. My best guess and our hope is probably we'll collect $5,000 at best. So those are the needs and some of the things that we do and have, and we're here to answer any questions that you may have.
I would like to add that if y'all choose to fund that, I would prefer to go ahead and pay for the entire part of our grant up front and not over a five-year period, because this would be a one-time funding from y'all. We're not getting money currently yearly. Even though there's no finance charge, it would make sense to pay that off and get that taken care of.
All right. Deputy Tyner, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Any questions from committee members?
Yes, I have a go ahead.
Go ahead, Justice Rowland.
I have a question for Mr. Tyler, and I didn't catch the other guy's name, and I couldn't see him speaking.
That's Commander Harper.
If we funded these requests, how would that would not affect the grant status. You still would be capable of receiving a grant, correct?
Yes, Justice Rowland, that is correct. If you fund these funds, any additional grant money that we get would just go to offset the balance of the purchase.
Okay. So if we funded the grants, the money in full, and y'all did receive grant money back, what other uses could y'all use the money on? Or would those grants be specific to those items?
Justin Rowland, it's my understanding, the way the grant is written, that if we receive those grants, it's one of those things where we purchase it and then the grant refunds the money. So at that point, we would come to the quorum court with the balance of the funds that we received back and ask that they be redistributed to the quorum, to the reserve unit, to use for other equipment and operational needs that we have. And I can go on all night about that. What it costs to outfit a deputy just up front, but the day-to-day needs and things that we need in the car, from Narcan to first aid equipment to rain jackets, it goes on and on and on.
Okay, so my point is there are other needs, right? There are other needs that you guys have.
Absolutely, yes, Justice Rowland.
Okay, all right. I actually support this. Thank you.
Justice Lahowski?
I like her use of the word actually. Thank you, Rosie.
We appreciate this.
So, and what you said before, the big number I'm looking at here is 124 some odd. Do you have to pay this full amount up front and then you're reimbursed 50%?
That is correct.
Okay. So you would be asking for the $124,000. If you didn't get the grant, you would spend the whole $124,000. If you did get the grant, you would spend half of that.
We would be reimbursed for half, which would go back to the Corn Court, which we would come back and request those funds for other operational needs.
Okay. So just for clarification purposes, if you were to say we wanted to fund their full, we're not budgeting finance, but if we're just talking public safety, we wanted to fund them fully for these two needs, we'd be looking at $150,000. Is that right? That plus 22?
Yes, sir. It's
yeah.
$147,000.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Can I ask another
yes.
question? I want to ask to the counselor. Mr. Counselor, can you talk about the logistics and maybe the legalities of giving money to the reserve unit? Like, what does that look like? Because they're not a county department.
It would be the same as any other institution or nonprofit in Fulton County.
So just like we give money to the United Way or whatever, don't we give money to them annually budget?
I think there's a fine line we often walk in giving money in certain instances. We can have minimal contributions. This, though, I think is a separate issue.
Okay.
I don't think there's any problem with the Quorum Court allocating money to the reserve department. The legal issue, though, that we have to overcome is whether the funds are going to be eligible for reimbursement under the rescue plan. And that issue revolves around how does whatever they're asking for affect or solve the public health crisis related to COVID. That's the bigger issue that this court would have to struggle with.
Do we define that in the whereases of an ordinance? Is that how we would?
We would. I mean, generally in an ordinance, we'd want to spell out, if we were using rescue funds, we'd want to spell out as concretely as possible how the funds apply to the public health crisis and hope that however we're doing that. For instance, just like we... my batteries are gone. Just like we discussed in the bonus issue, not all bonuses can be paid out of rescue plan because not all time was spent in where employees would be affected by COVID. So the same thing is true in this one. We want to make sure that we were as narrow as possible, and the more that you reach out, the more this court takes on a certain risk for future courts to deal with.
Thank you, sir.
So to piggyback Justice Lahowski's comments regarding the rescue plan, we could investigate the opportunity to use rescue plan money as the reserve unit supports the sheriff's office. And as they've already so eloquently provided, they're working side by side in the same patrol cars, working the same incidents, the same issues, the exact same exposures that our full-time deputies and part-time deputies are exposed to. So that's something in an ordinance that we could massage and then present to the Budget and Finance Committee.
Sure. Once again, it's not a law enforcement provision that is an issue. I think the reserve unit, just as much as the sheriff's office, has that law enforcement function. The issue is how does it relate to the public health crisis? So whether it's the sheriff's office or the reserve deputy, the standard's the same, which is we have to craft a ordinance that tied in to these purchases and how it will help or reduce or whatever the public health crisis.
My thought is, and we're just discussing this, is that the radios should be relatively simple. The vest may take some work. So any other questions or comments? Justice Moss?
Commander Harper, sorry. Commander Harper, how many reserve deputies do you have?
At the moment, we have 21. We'll have a class coming up. We are currently at a low. Public perception of law enforcement is not what it used to be. The demand for services from our unit has stressed some of our guys. The man hours requested are larger than ever. I will say that I feel like the unit we have is one of the best units the Sheriff's Department's had in years. I'd love to take credit for that, but I think we were set in motion or in the right direction by our former commander, John Kemp. He put good people in place before he left, and I continued with that. I couldn't do it without the board and the reserves I have. You know, if we're talking about man hours, it's well over $1 million that we have actually get in man hours, and this is not a number that the unit pulled out of the air. We actually have a grant writing company that crunched these numbers for us. So it's not just a hourly pay number, but you have to look at the back end and all the service that goes in to take care of a single deputy, the people that do the payroll. There is a cost beyond an hourly wage, the benefits, the insurance. So when you had it added up, it's been well over $1 million in the last approximately 18 months. The one item that is provided to us that we do not pay for is vehicles. The Sheriff's Department does provide vehicles, fuel, repair, and insurance on those cars. Other than that, we are self-funded there again. Y'all mentioned including us in some kind of bonus. I assure you that my reserve deputies had rather have equipment than money in their pocket. They're not here doing this for pay. They're doing this because they want to give back to the community, and this is their way of doing it, to be a servant to the community. And I believe that it is a public safety issue with the radios, most definitely.
Definitely. Yes. Right. So with the 21 reserve deputies, what do you know what your average turnover is?
I've never sat down and crunched that. I have deputies that's been with us 8 years, and then we have new deputies. One of our turnover issues as well, I consider it a pat on the back. Right now, the Sheriff's Department is looking at hiring 3 of our reserve deputies. You know, a lot of our deputies full-time, I'll throw the Chief Woolley under the bus. He started as a reserve, and there's many others that come from the reserve unit.
The reserve unit is probably the best recruitment tool that the Sheriff's Department has. They, we get a new crop every year. Usually they stay with us a year before they apply. But I don't know exactly how many deputies that are on the street now were started in the reserve department, but it's a large handful.
Right. So with the body armor, those have to be tailored to the deputy, right? When we get those, or are you guys looking at?
So I just today discussed that with one of the vendors. You can get body armor that is, for lack of a better term, large, extra large, double X, regular, and tall. That would be our goal. Okay. If somebody leaves, the body armor's turned back in. It's good for 5 years. So you would place an individual in that. After 5 years, it's out of date.
Right.
But to step back to your question on retainment as well, I feel we have two people. We have people come to us that's looking to get into law enforcement, and our people that stay with us generally are people that are business owners, IT division. They would like to be law enforcement, but the career path they have chosen pays better. I don't want to get into the pay issue, but I do feel that our full-time guys are underpaid. So you have what I call a long-term reserve, and you have a reserve that is looking to get training and use this as a stepping stone.
Right. So. Okay, so is 25 best, you feel like that's going to cut it? That's going to be enough?
This year, sir. It's not going to be enough next year.
Right.
Right. Right.
We're trying to fill an immediate need, and then we'll... We have some other ideas for later, but you know, we have a class coming out that 25 should get us through this next class, but after that, no, sir.
Right.
There's a continuing need every year.
Sure.
Right now, we're just in a, we're in a crisis.
Just making sure we're asking for enough. So, okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
It would need to be possibly readdressed annually. We would have to face that as we come to it. So.
Thanks.
Justice Plahowski?
If you would allow, Deputy Woolley, I guess, is our highest-ranking member of the sheriff's office here. I would just like to ask him his experience with the reserves. And
Chief, are you getting your money's worth out of the reserve program?
Absolutely. Commander Harper said that. I agree 100%. It's probably one of the best reserve units we've had in a long time. And honestly, they're the only reason why we're making it today. You know, as you see, the all departments across the country are shorthanded. We're shorthanded. But guess who you can count on? You can count on these guys to be there to fill that gap. Just like he named off, getting in the seat September 11th. Just, there was a reserve per car out that day. When we arrest somebody that has to go to the hospital, we're shorthanded. We can't go to the hospital to sick these guys till they go to jail. Well, who goes? The reserve unit. And more than happy to. I wish our budget could handle supplying them with the needs that they need, but we can't. We struggle supplying our own. Anything you can do to help these guys, I'd appreciate it because they give so much to our community.
Justice Shock, have you got any input?
I do. We disagree with this guy. I think the best reserve unit we have is when Justice Sigel was the commander and Deputy Shock and Moss were on the reserve unit.
That's before their time.
Yeah, that's way back in the day. Now the reserve unit is invaluable. I mean, they provide valuable assistance, and I've been on both sides of that, so I completely understand how that goes. And I think anything that we can do to support our men and women in law enforcement, it's money well spent. The only pause that I would have is, I think Commander Harper mentioned, bulletproof vests go out in 5 years. I don't know if the county would be in a position to fully fund radios and vests in the future. But I will be in support of this, but that's the only cause that I have is, you know, future monies down the road.
Okay. Thank you, Justice Schott. All right, so at this point, Justice Plahowski, I'll turn to you. Are you prepared to make a motion of any type? Or Justice Moss? So we can talk about this. So I'll just, let's massage this a little bit. We can, as a committee, we can make a motion to develop an ordinance that we would present to the Budget and Finance Committee, because this would have to go to them. So we could work with our county attorney so that we could, I think the radios are, I don't say can be the easiest, but I believe that we can work with the radios. Mm-hmm. And see if that's the best. We're probably going to have to massage that and really look close at that. I support both. Commander Harper, I support both of these. It's just the reality of can we work this through the ARP.
Correct. And we do have a plan to hopefully address future monetary needs. We're trying to work something out. I don't want to get into that at this time. But we do realize that this is a one-time payout, per se, by the quorum court. This is not a commitment to do year after year.
No, I think Deputy Tyner's made a good point that you guys are in a bind, and we need to figure out a way to get through this. And then we can look in the future and see what opportunities we have. But let's get through this.
Yes, sir.
I will make your motion to work with the counselor to craft an ordinance to fund the radios to the best of our ability through the ARP.
Okay. We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All right. So that motion is on the floor. Are there any questions or comments, Justice Rowland or Justice Shock? Any questions or comments?
None here.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. All those in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? I think that was unanimous. All right, so that motion is going forward to develop an ordinance, present the budget finance to fund the issues you presented to us tonight.
If you need anything from us, let us know. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Thank you for having us tonight.
All right, thank you. At this point, I'd like to invite Justice Kendrick to the microphone. The final item on the agenda tonight for Courts and Public Safety, proposed resolution 21-05, the pro-life resolution. Justice Kendrick, I'll turn the floor over to you, sir.
Thank you, Justice Higgins and Courts and Public Safety for having me and allowing me to discuss this resolution. And one of the defining issues our time, I think, is the right to life that our society is facing. And what we've seen is Arkansas become one of the most pro-life states in the nation. And I think the movement now that we're seeing is at the county level, the counties are starting to adopt resolutions in support of pro-life, just further backing up that stance and just making a stand for saving the unborn, protecting the elderly, and caring for the disabled. And I thought it would be a great thing for us as Faulkner County to be able to come here to put this resolution on the floor. I hope that this committee will pass it to the full court so we can say that as Faulkner County that we are pro-life, we are a pro-life county, and it's something that we fully support. And just want to make that statement here tonight.
All right, thank you, Justice Kendrick. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to allow discussion from the floor tonight. I know there's several people that have reached out to me asking for the opportunity, and I told them that we could. Well, let's just make sure we go ahead and put it on the record. Counselor, you want to read it or you want me to read it?
Either way.
I'll let you read it. I appreciate it, too.
All right, we've got Fulton County Quorum Court Resolution 21-05, sponsored by Chris Kendrick. Be it resolved by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, resolution to be entitled a resolution affirming the commitment of Faulkner County, Arkansas to protecting the unalienable right to life of every person, declaring Faulkner County, Arkansas to be a pro-life county. Whereas the Declaration of Independence declares that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, including the right to life, and whereas Amendment 68 to the Arkansas Constitution states that the policy of the state of Arkansas is to protect the life of every unborn child from conception until birth, and whereas it is the duty of the state and local governments to protect the unalienable right to life of every person within their respective jurisdictions, and whereas the United States Supreme Court stated in Polker v. Doe, 432 U.S. 519, 1977, the United States Constitution does not forbid a municipality pursuant to democratic processes from expressing a preference for normal childbirth instead of abortion. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas, Section 1. It is the policy of Faulkner County, Arkansas to promote and protect the dignity and humanity of all persons at all stages of life from conception until natural death. Section 2. The Faulkner County, Arkansas declares itself to be a pro-life county.
Thank you, Counselor. All right, so we have this resolution before us, so I'll start with the committee. Are there any questions or comments from any committee members?
Do we need a motion before we begin discussion?
No, I do mine a little different than
that's fine.
And pick it.
That's
I mean,
fine.
I can put things on the table.
No,
so I'm putting this one on the table, and then after we discuss it, we'll make a motion.
That sounds good.
So are you ready to discuss it, or?
No, I'm just asking.
Okay. All right. Any other JPs in the room that are not on the committee have any questions or comments? Okay. So, I'm sorry. Allison?
Yeah.
I didn't see you back there.
I'd just like to say that I support this. I'd like to see it go to full court tonight, and I think it goes right along with our previously the Bill of Rights ordinance that we passed earlier. That's all I'd like to see.
All right. Thank you, Justice Allison. All right, so I'll open it up to the gallery. If you just raise your hand, if you would like to speak tonight, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to raise your hand and let me know so I can identify you. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Gregory.
I'm Peggy Gregory, part of the county here, and I will be very
very much in favor of this resolution.
Okay, thank you. I saw another hand over here.
I have several things, but for now, I'll just ask why. If this
go ahead, stand up, just give us your name.
I'm Tracy Buchanan. Yes, ma'am. I'm a resident as well, and I'm just curious what the risk assessment is to warrant this conversation in a public safety forum meeting. Most of your conversations looks like it's been more about revenue, funding, resources, access, and protecting the greater public safety. And so I just challenge the question that says, if we go pro-life and base this off of the trend with which this is happening, what risk is there to our community if we declare that we're a pro-life, or what caution, I guess, are you taking? Why are you taking this preemptive action, I guess, to declare us as a pro-life?
So do you want me to help with that, or do you want to answer that one?
Let me have a shot at it.
Yes.
I overstep or anything, just let me know.
Okay.
Well, first and foremost, I'm bringing this forward because I am pro-life. I'm 100% unapologetically pro-life, so it's an important personal topic to me. As far as why it's happening in this committee itself, it's called Courts, which after evaluating all of the committees, I believe the quorum court as a whole, this is the most appropriate committee to bring it under, because this committee in the past, as a former member of this committee, not currently, we've handled a variety of issues that were just general quorum court issues and not necessarily public safety. So I believe it falls within the realm of that. As far as risk assessment, I'm not aware of any risk to the community or anything else. We're fully authorized under state law to do this. This does allow us to do a few things. We can add signs along our streets and highways, which I think would be a great thing to do to let everybody know how pro-life this county is. We can add it to community public relations advertising. We can place signs and banners on city and county property. We can distribute signs for businesses and individuals to voluntarily display. We can promote it at festivals, parades, and other public events. We can have pro-life observances. We can encourage places of worship, schools, civics clubs to promote the sanctity of human life. And I believe even potentially erect monuments and other memorials to the lives lost to abortion. I believe those are some of the things that's permitted under that law. That doesn't mean those will necessarily happen within this county, but those are just some of the options that I believe passing this does bring to us. And Justice Higgins, if you have anything to add to the relevance to the court.
I would just add on as far as regarding why it addressed this committee. So we have the quorum court has four committees, courts of public safety, and we have budget and finance. So this particular resolution, we're not appropriating any money, so it wouldn't fall into that. We have the personnel committee that deals with Faulkner County employees generally, and then we have roads and infrastructure. So just by tradition, if it doesn't fall in one of the other three committees, it usually comes to me in this committee.
Oh, I'm aware of why it came to this committee. That's the only allowable entry into discussion.
Right.
I'm fully aware of that. My question is, what is the risk? So we have so many things going on in our community. If we evaluate risk, I think this is not an efficient time of our money and our dollars to put to work, especially if the intent is to declare us as pro-life and then put signs that do not fully speak to the voice of all of Faulkner County. Right? So that would be something that I definitely would oppose. But I'm really challenging how this is even an appropriate conversation, because the risk is minimal. Numbers have been on decrease for years. The numbers that are fact on the rise now are in direct reflection to climate action disruption, increased poverty, lack of social services. And so I would rather challenge and say, let's look at those things that are more appropriate, that don't end, that the value of life ends at the birth of that child. And moreover, we focus from conception all the way through the end of that. What does it say in your resolution? Excuse me. 1 second. It's the policy of Faulkner County, Arkansas, to promote and protect the dignity of humanity of all persons at all stages of life, from conception until natural death. And so by the very fact that we're supporting only from conception to birth, right, when we have 600 of our 900 homeless people in Faulkner County to children, 160 plus in foster care, and the services are not directly coming through the government, but rather through our churches and individuals. And so if we want to talk about the greater risk to our community, we are better served focusing on something else and not playing into the rhetoric of we know what is going on through our community, right? So I would venture to say, whether I'm pro-choice or not, is a private decision for me. I am a mom. I am a climate advocate. I am a city lover. I am involved with our community, right? And I'm extremely pro-life, but my lens of what what that looks like is much greater than a very small spectrum that you are allowing to be introduced into our tank declaration. And so I oppose it, and I have several other things to say that I'll digress for right now. But if this goes into fuller committee, I would love to see some data, some analytics, and some evidence that this is a worthy cause and a great public risk to our county.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you have any additional? Yes, sir.
I would say that...
Would you please just state your name?
My name is Andrew Gillespie, and I live also in Faulkner County. I would say that, kind of in response, that declaring ourselves to support the position of pro-life, and there's no, you know, as you mentioned, there's no monetary allowances in this budget, doesn't do... So it seems that we support life before natural birth, or before birth, doesn't do anything to detract from the fact that we support it after birth. So saying that all these other concerns that you brought up, which are real concerns, I fully agree with you there, doesn't meet supporting life before birth, doesn't do anything to detract from supporting life after birth. So all those concerns are still just as valid if we approve this resolution, which I support approving, but supporting them, doing this doesn't do anything to detract from supporting those other issues that need to be addressed as well.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. Please state your name.
Memorials and all of these things, because there is such a vocal population of people who do not agree with the concept which you are proposing. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Crystal?
Crystal Taylor, Faulkner County Circuit Clerk. I approve this resolution. I think that with everything that the state has worked hard to do, being one of the top pro-life states is the state of Arkansas, and I'm very proud of that, and I think we should follow suit within the county.
Thank you. Justice Kendrick, just a question. Have other counties passed similar resolutions, just out of curiosity?
I believe up to this point there's been five or six, and there's several others this month that are just like us with some resolutions and committees.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know if we were the first.
No, we are not the first. I believe... Benton County was the first one in prior months, and there's been five or six up to this point, and several others considering it, just like we are.
All right, thank you, Justice Kendrick. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, I'm sorry, no, go ahead.
My name is Renee Henderson.
Yes, Ms. Henderson.
Certain see a pro-life too, especially after my experiences in younger days. But I can, so I just hope that it'll just take another look at it, if you will, and see if we can take out some of the fluff of it. But thank you for the work.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. Ms. McKinney, did you say you want another round at it?
I do. I'm sorry. And I keep getting dizzy. I'm sorry. I couldn't say it. I'm having fun. I'm getting dizzy up and down on my glasses, so I apologize. So I do, there are a couple of things. Obviously, this is very controversial. There's a lot of passion, and there will be a lot of division that comes from this in our community. I think, rather, I would love to see, we have a lot of hard topics coming our way. We've heard of the need through our gods and ladies who protect us. We've got needs, bigger needs and bigger things to focus on. There's obviously, we talk about what a great state for pro-life, and there's a lot of efforts and money and focus on that, and that is wonderful. That is not a voice for all of our people in Faulkner County, and also I don't think it's a great message. We have so many difficult topics that are going to come our way over the next few years. That's going to come in all different kinds of ways. And I am a climate activist. I'll be very transparent. The reason I'm here is I'm more concerned about our efforts in making statements and putting investments towards what we're doing to handle migration of more people coming in, our underperforming infrastructures, right? So how are we funding our public service and our first responders? Those are things that are greater concern to our community. And even as we disagree on this pro-life, I think we can all agree that those are more important issues and topics that we want to see come out of our court system. And I know that you said you know that a few more of the quorum courts have done it. Yes, we are very aware that this is something that's spreading very quickly throughout Arkansas. And I have to question that, too, because I'm not quite sure of the timing. There's nothing going on actively in our community and or in Arkansas except for another reattempt to get a bill put back through in the next legislation. The only thing that stands out in my mind that would have spurred this type of action is the Texas law SB8, which is now currently being sued by our federal Department of Justice for unconstitutional rights, right? And so when we talk about inalienable rights, at what point do you expect those to end? And by us tagging along and allowing that this national message joins our county, that we will fall prey and victim to that type of rhetoric, really surprises me, because we are, you guys are very high-functioning, highly educated, very focused on the wholeness and the vitality of our entire community, that this was truly a disappointment to see come up in our, I expected in other areas. I did not know that we would stand up and rise to a law that falls under the guise of pro-life. But if you look at everything after that, that law put a bounty on women's heads. If they make a decision, a personal decision, there is free reign to any person in our country to call or report them without evidence and get a $10,000 reward. So if no one has really looked at that law and what that is spurring throughout our country to rise up, it is well beyond reproductive rights. That is a false narrative. It is about oppression. And that's what you're standing up for, intentional or not. I don't think that's your intention. And that is my caution to come here and say, don't fall victim to that, because that is the sheer intent to put that out throughout all of our core reports. And I have a lot of stamina. I have a lot of righteous anger. So I'll be at every meeting, and I will bring the group larger and larger every time we come, because this is a false introduction to protections of life into our court and into our county. We have lots of women business here. We have lots of high, I don't have the numbers. Look, I stressed myself out trying to bring y'all data and numbers, and then realized that's not my job. My job here today is to come here and ask you to prove the worthiness of this conversation, okay? With respect to the quorum court duties, right? And if I look at your quorum court duties, yes, you do have a right to coordinate, and not legal, so keep me honest. But it looks like you do have the rights to coordinate through other counties, governments, whatever, right, for the greater betterment of our community, to include the federal government, political subdivisions, blah, blah, all of that. But what caught me is in your JP manual, and I'm assuming that's what we're going by, if you looked at your Act 1414-808, Chapter 2, Section C, it says that your job and duty is to preserve, bear with me 1 second, because that really stuck me, it is to preserve the peace and order and secure freedom from dangerous and noxious obnoxious activities, provided, however, that no act is declared any act of felony. So if we go on that guise alone, and this is a resolution, so it's toothless, it will have no bearing other than a statement that says, the voice of Faulkner County says we are pro-life. And that statement in and of itself is divisive and will tear apart our community, guaranteed 100%, but that is inappropriate to introduce through this court. And I don't think that's your intent, and I'm lagging, but I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm Italian and my hands fly. So that's what happened. So I'm concerned about why. I'm concerned about religion. I'm concerned about the harm and the damage that will do, moreover, than pressing your point. We all are pro-life in Faulkner County. Whether we are pro-choice, whether we are pro-abortion or pro-not, if you go look at our statistics and the way that we are supporting our community, we're doing a great thank you. You are doing a great job. There is no reason to declare this in a statement. Your actions show it. Our community involvement show it. And this is a discarriage of justice, in my opinion, and a waste of your time. So I encourage you, for those two reasons, to rescind. What can you do? You can reconsider. Or, what's the other word? Postpone indefinitely the proposed resolution of 2025. And lastly, and I was surprised, and I looked at who I was speaking to today, that of our quorum court, 14 justices, we have one female. So if you guys are the voice of our people, be very clear who you are speaking for. And I also want you to make a very safe space for one female on the board to have a very strong voice and comfort on how she feels about this either way. So I challenge the diversity conversation here, and I ask you guys to respectfully decline on that basis alone. So my three reasons are there. I will happily send this message in. But please reconsider, and I do appreciate everything you guys have done. So thank you. You too. It took a lot of courage to bring this out today.
Thank you, Ms. Buchanan. Mr. Salero. You need a microphone? Do we have a microphone with batteries?
Yes.
Do you need
batteries? Charge batteries.
Thank you.
I understand what this whole side of the room is worried about. But I have a problem. For the last 18 months, I've been listening to the federal government telling me to look at the science. My remembrance of science is that when an egg is fertilized by a sperm, there's some completely unique DNA form. And that DNA is a human being. Not a clump of cells. Not a fetus. Not something to be discarded. It's a human being. It will grow to be a human being. That being the case, very simply, I believe abortion is murder. And I personally will not condone murder. Now, that's a personal opinion, just like everyone else has. But the science says that once that egg is fertilized, it's a human being. And this court saying that it is pro-protecting that life and pro-protecting my life as an older person, I think that's wonderful. I thank you, and I hope you'll support it.
Thank you, sir. All right. Any other hands? Justice Allison, I'm going to grant it this one time.
I'm not a female, but I was raised in a house with five sisters, and I had two daughters, all of whom are pro-life or against abortion. We talk about protecting life at all stages, and we talk about how we're not protecting life at all stages by protecting life of the preborn. But how can we ever protect our lives after they're born if they never get the opportunity to be born? If we kill them in the womb, how are we protecting their lives once they're born? That's not These two are not mutually exclusive. You can't protect them after born if you never protect them when they're born, in my opinion. And I understand there's a difference of opinion. And I understand, too, that when we talk about we don't represent the views of every Faulkner County citizen, I can promise you, all of us have taken heat for taking stances. And there's not a thing we do on this court where we represent the views of every single citizen. Because when you take a stand in a divided country like ours, you automatically place yourself at odds with certain segments in the community. And we don't set out to be at odds with individuals, but we do set out to be at odds with ideals that are opposed to ours. And as we've heard many, many times over the last several months, elections have consequences. We're elected to govern at this point. And if the majority of this court has pro-life tendencies, that occurred in an election. And if you're asking us to violate our conscience, we can't do that. The time to change that's at the ballot box. Thank you.
I'm going to do one more because we do have follow-up committees. And the purpose tonight will be to consider the resolution to send it to the full court, and there will be other opportunities for additional discussion. Also, I encourage anyone that has input one way or the other, they can look at the Faulkner County website. All of our emails, JP's emails, are on that. You feel free to send an email, you know, with your stance on that. So, yes, ma'am, in the middle. Yes. Yeah. Please just state your name.
My name is Brooklyn Mason. I am a resident of Conway. I have been since 2017. I am a student at UCA, the first student who will be graduating with a double major in French and African-American Studies. I am a born and raised Arkansan. I'm a military brat. I am in a monogamous, heterosexual marriage. I am literally the poster child for what I think a lot of folks in our state would say what constitutes the ideal woman, and we can argue what that looks like in another session. last year, I was diagnosed with endometrial cancer, and I spent much of my youth and adult life wanting nothing more than to get pregnant. Had I gotten pregnant, between the time of my diagnosis and now, it would have killed me if I had been forced to give birth. I chose, with the advisement of my oncologist, to have a partial hysterectomy. I am sharing my private medical situation with everyone here and with the court because I feel like a lot of people don't understand that bills like this, we're referencing the Texas bill, statements like this affect people like me, even aside from all of my beliefs that, even aside from situations like me, this should be something that is accessible to anybody. I'm an outlier. Endometrial cancer for women under the age of 45 is actually extremely rare. However, it did affect me. This affects my life. This affected my marriage. This affected the relationships that I have with my family. And seeing signs posted up around my community, if we're talking about supporting women giving birth, if we're talking about supporting that nuclear family, seeing those signs would directly impact my day. Even aside from my personal pro-choice stance, it is a reminder of everything that I lost due to a medical condition that I could not control. And I would like to believe that everyone who stands here and says that they are pro-life also cares about my life, cares about my medical diagnosis, cares about my citizenship to this county. And I apologize, I'm very impassioned and I'm trying really hard not to cry. so I'm a little shaky. But if all of the other comments in opposition to this have not swayed you, I really hope that my situation does. And even if it doesn't, when it goes to the full court, that it allows everyone to stop and consider for a moment that this isn't simply a case of the, as we like to talk about in these debates, the person who made a mistake, so to speak, and has an elected abortion. Regardless of our opinions on whether or not that should be accessible. There are more people like me and more people with other medical conditions that seek these services, that need those services, that with all of these signs that they were, and I'm actually very deeply disturbed that a comment was made about this being something that is pushed through schools. Especially if I recall, some public schools also receive funding outside of just state tax dollars. Correct me on that if anyone has more knowledge on that. But I'm very deeply disturbed that we're already setting a precedent with that comment of putting monuments outside of public schools where this is not something that has any place in that forum. I could talk, I'm like you, I could talk on and on and on and on and on, so I'm just going to stop myself there.
Thank you. All right, so to address the committee, what we have at this point, we've heard the discussion. We have Resolution 2105 before us. What is the pleasure of the committee?
Motion for passage of Resolution 21-05 to the full court.
Okay, so we have a motion to move it to the full court.
I will second discussion.
We have a second between Justice Rowland and Justice Chalk. Okay, so let me go through, just make sure that we're clear on this. So we have that motion. Any further discussion regarding the motion?
I'll just say I really appreciate everyone coming today and being involved in your local government. It means a lot.
Okay, Justice Lasky.
Justice Higgins, I guess the only other thing I have just to address Renee, talking about removing the fluff from this. Renee, this was directly taken from as an example from the state law, so this is verbatim from the state law, so I personally don't have an intention to amend this because this is what is in the state law, just tailored for Faulkner County. So.
All right, so we have a motion and a second on the floor to move this to the full court. Yes. Let's go through here. Justice Moss, how say you, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Justice Lahowski?
Yes.
Okay. Justice Rowland?
Yes.
Justice Schock?
Yes.
All right, this moves to the full court. All right, that ends everything on the agenda. I did have one other comment. I'll move on. This is a follow-up from our last meeting. Justice Kendrick asked me if the AAC was tracking what the counties were doing regarding bonuses. And I did ask that question, and the answer is no. They are not officially tracking. There's some anecdotal information that they kind of, I mean, they said, we're this county, but they're not officially tracking. So I want to give you that feedback.
Thank you for checking on that for us.
Yes. No other business before this committee. This committee is adjourned.